the polling places too, and then you would not be saving money, and you would be doubling the cost of it.
Well, you know, I think there was one election down Lane County where they just had the polling places down the fairgrounds or one
that
place.
That was
or
just recently, and because there was only one candidate and there was with no opponent.
But what I was wondering is if you could get some kind of a compromise things where you wouldn't put polling places up all over. Maybe you would just have them one place, or allow people that hadn't registered within 30 days to go to one central place so they wouldn't be disenfranchised. Most people would vote by mail. And I guess I'm not so much concerned about the special elections as I can see if this is successful, it's going to be wanted to be used in the primary and the general election.
Well, we feel, once again, I want to stress this point. We feel it's absolutely essential in order to maintain the integrity of the election process and the minds of the people that the first time we try it, that it work very well, that there be no problems with our confusion about how people can vote. And there just has to be a cutoff for us to do that.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me interject here, and Representative Hendrickson, let me interject, because I think this is something that, and I know that probably Mr. Phelps can address it in much more detail, because I think when we get into this, I'd like to have us go into a fair amount of detail, particularly on the verification process, the cross-checking, and what procedures may be taken, and I think really alluding to the San Diego election, to ensure the integrity of the ballot. And I think that it is this process, which is difficult to mesh with an election day registration system, but I would like to get into that a few minutes from now. I'd like to give Representatives Mason and Courtney an opportunity to make their general statement to the issue, and then I think that we can probably really get into the mechanics of it.
But I also think that there's a legal question about running the two systems.
Yes, I was going to say that.
Not just the confusion and the money, but there's a legal question about the two systems.
I think that on the one hand, if you had a uniform cutoff date for all special district elections or all elections to be held on dates other than the primary and the general, you'd have a uniformity situation, I don't think, and I gather from the AG's opinion we have, that we would not have a problem. However, if you had a floating cutoff date, right, depending on whether a given district was going to go ballot by mail or not, then I suspect that you might have an equal protection argument.
Well, that isn't what I was suggesting. What I was suggesting is that the law would be that there would be a cutoff as far as anyone that's going to vote by mail.
Yeah. Okay, I think I understand what you're saying, and we did explore the possibility, for instance, of having a cutoff date as we have today that says that 20 days before the election is the last date that you can get in the poll book, but then allow registration up to election day. And what I think we can get into later to hopefully illustrate the problem is that there's a very elaborate process, really, in cross-checking who's voted, who's received a ballot, who's voted, and who hasn't. And to allow, in addition, Election Day registration and Election Day voting, it isn't just a matter of Election Day registration, but to allow anybody to come in and vote at a polling booth on Election Day really compromises the cross-checking procedure that is really at the base of the integrity of the ballot by mail. But again, I'd like to get into that in a little more detail when we can get down to some of the nitty-gritty. And at this point, are there any more questions for Secretary of State Paulus? Representative Otto.
On the San Diego situation, did you do any follow-up after that, looking at letters to the editor about the public's acceptance of voting by mail?
In San Diego?
Yes.
No, sir, we did not. We are to receive a report from the Director of Elections, Mr. Ray Ortiz, that he was going to issue on June the 1st. Representatives Whalen and Lombard and myself were to receive a copy. I apologize. I should have checked with Mr. Ortiz before I came into the hearing this morning to see whether what the status of that report is.
Well, what was the report about? I mean,
it reports very much detail about the, you know, the good and the bad about the election. It was a very, you know, large election. I think, though, that I could generally say that the reaction was pretty favorable, because we have had any number of news persons, both in the print media as well as the video, contact us from not only California but other parts of the country, wanting our impressions and giving me the very distinct impression that it was very successful and its time has arrived. And hopefully, you know, the rest of the country will move forward. We'd be the next state. Right now, California is the only state with vote by mail.
We
so
can
I'd say
do
generally
that,
the community was satisfied.
We can have our clipping service do that, and it
yes.
wouldn't cost us very much. We'll do that for you and report back to you. Just one final note. We have, in anticipation of a reluctance on the part of the legislature to make any inroads on the registration up to and including election day, you'll notice that there's a sunset provision in our bill, so that we would conduct an election, maybe more than that, depending on how well it went and proceeded, and then report back to you, and the legislature would have to act on it again in order to continue it. So it's really a trial system.
Representative Rutherford?
Norma, one of the strongest proponents, I think, of the, other than the Democratic Party, I think, perhaps, of the last day registration is the AFL-CIO.
Right.
Have you discussed this with their representatives? That they have?
No, I haven't. We have talked about this off and on for about 4 years, and as I said, during the last session. So, but I know I have not specifically talked to them about it.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Okay, thank you, Norma. Tom, you and Peter want to make your statements now. I think I'd just soon have you do that, and then call Mr. Phelps back after that for some more detailed testimony.
You want to sit right here in the middle?
That's okay.
Would you like? You're older than I am, but more better.
You told me
that
you were older than me.
I said older than you. Ready for some good stuff.
Representative Courtney, why don't you start out?
You want me to start out?
Yes.
Why don't we start the
laugh? I'll be clean up hitter.
I'm Representative Peter Courtney, State Representative. I just said that, District 33, it's Kaiser, North Salem, West Salem. I just want you to know that I had no idea that when I asked Legislative Council to draft a little bill in this area that I was stepping into a hornet's, wasp, queen's bee, and scorpion's nest all at once. I want you to know that my interest in this idea is because I've served in local government, and now I'm probably going to get myself into a lot of trouble. But it's interesting. You know, why do you hold elections? You hold elections to try to find out what the majority wants. Do we hold elections? In my opinion, to a large extent, we don't. We hold samplings. And now I'm speaking about special elections in local government where, and I'll say it straight out, one of the things it was relied on, and I relied on, was low voter turnout to get a yes vote. And in my opinion, if you go this route, in terms of money measures, the days of relying on low voter turnout to get a yes vote are over. It's as simple as that. And I think that it is very important that in the special election area, and that's what I was talking about, that money matters, not candidate elections, not statewide ballot measures. You allow your local jurisdictions, county governments, city governments, mass transit districts, special service districts, to have this kind of options. Truly, there is the money savings. But also, it'll put them in a position, because I actually believe one day you ought to get to a mandatory situation on that, although not initially, that they can no longer rely on low voter turnout. They've got to get out and sell their product. They've got to explain their product. And then that'll accomplish two things. You will have the momentum if you get a yes vote. and you will also have developed a constituency for whatever your project is, whether it's a civic center, a bus system, or whatever. I would like to point out, for example, before I came down here, Representative Hanby wanted to come, and she wanted to testify for mandatory mail-in ballot elections because of something that happened earlier this year in the Washington County area in terms of school elections there. The first ballot measure that they put up in March, it went down by a 57 to 42% margin, the ballot measure for schools. They came back a little later, actually in May, and they held another election, same dollar amount, and it passed 60% to 39%. And that's a good fact of life, but what is startling is the voter turnout decreased by 28%, the no votes decreased by 50%. Now, once again, I just want to emphasize that in the local area, I think it's critical, given the fact that they go to the voters so many times, that a higher voter turnout should be guaranteed. And that is why I think there's a beautiful option here with this mail-in ballot approach. With that, I'm going to be still and go to you, Representative Mason, because we're both doing this together.
Thank you, Representative Courtney. Tom.
Excuse me just a minute, Tom. Representative Rutherford has a question.
Would you predict a new era of ballot or of budget austerity as a result of a ballot by mail?
Well, I'll tell you this. There'll either be that, or you'll have individuals working a lot harder to get ballot measures passed in terms of educating the public and explaining what they're trying to do and what they're trying to accomplish. I headed up a ballot measure in 78, keep the buses rolling, and I got all excited about that. And I don't know of course, that was a primary day, as it turns out, or it was a May election. And we carried that thing, but we had to work very, very hard. Whereas when you go in a February or a June or September, or if you really want to do it, you go in the summer months when everybody's vacationing, I really believe that you have to work a lot harder. You'd have to work a lot harder. But I also believe that if you would work harder and explain some of these issues better, I think you take your chances, you'd get just as many yes election victories as no. So I think that it'd either be that or you'd have to work harder. So.
Okay. Representative Mason.
Well, Tom Mason, State Representative, District 9. I think I should reiterate something both Representative Courtney and Secretary of State Paulus, I believe, have touched on. That is that this will be a fundamental change in the way we conduct special elections. And over the past few sessions, we have just touched on that, and that is this low turnout. We have cut down the number of dates the special elections could be held on. That was quite a battle. I think to a certain extent that's been good, and that has increased turnout. The reasons for people failing to turn out to special elections are legion. First of all, there are too many dates. They don't know about the election. The notification is slight at best. They feel they can't be troubled. They feel their vote doesn't count. But now we are in a situation, or we can be in a situation with mail-in ballots, where those factors don't come into play. You literally will be notified of the election by your receipt of the ballot. And you have little or no excuse for not knowing there's an election. And you have little or no excuse for not voting. Fortunately or unfortunately, I believe that you're going to see a basically different result in a lot of these elections. And what Representative Courtney says about we're going to have to get out and the proponents of various measures are going to have to get out and sell these things even more is true. But I think that's healthy government. I think participation is healthy. Therefore, this bill and the concept of mail-in ballots, I believe, is a healthy concept, a good concept. I think it'll, the long run, revolutionize is a strong word, but I think it will revolutionize the process of special elections.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Hendrickson.
I wonder, I belong to an organization, which you two do too, the BAR, which sends out mail ballots and so forth, and sometimes people respond to them and sometimes they don't. I just wonder, after the novelty wears off and people keep getting this stuff in the mail, along with a lot of other things, if they will, in fact, change the participation rate in terms of voting.
Well, given that we're at about 30% now, and I believe that's a good turnout for a special election. Yeah, that's a good one. A good turnout is 30%. Just about anything can be better. I would hate to say, though, that this is modeled on the bar.
No.
Let's not.
Well, I'm just saying that's the way the bar elects their officers, is through a mail ballot identification kind of thing. And I don't know what the participation rate is on that.
I think it's about 60%.
Yeah. And it's if you can't open up your mail and do what you have to do and put it back in the envelope, we're not going to talk postage yet. I think there's no hope for you. Very little or no hope for you. The reverse argument has always been made that voting should be for those people who are interested. Voting should be for those people who participate, and that goes as a classic argument. I don't believe in that. I believe it should be made as easy as possible. But there's a quantum level you've got to reach, and I think the opening of your mail is that level.
Any questions? Representative Otto?
Our union, I'm sure all unions, I won't say all unions, but at least our union, Local 48 International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, votes by mail. And if I remember the figures, we have somewhere between a 62 and a 67% ballot return. And I see Nellie Fox in the audience, and maybe she would have some statistics on other unions voting by mail, what the return is.
Maybe this is an illustration of we've always heard of Murphy's Law, you know, something things can go wrong at will. I think there's a corollary to that 10% never get the word on there's been some major change, and perhaps there's a further corollary to that no matter how easy you make an election, no matter how important you make an election, I don't think you can break through the 70%, 80% barrier. I've heard of elections in other countries running around 90%, but I think they have holidays and sometimes require them to vote. But 60% on a special election is tremendous. Now, that's the San Diego figure. I think that's tremendous. And perhaps that's what it'll average out to be. I suspect that you'll, and I think you'll find, instead of it falling off, I think you might find it even building up. As people get used to it, and they might even start to like it. Who knows what that can lead to?
You know, one of the things that fascinated me in Portland, if my statistics are correct, that in the February 17th election this year, they had a 20.8% turnout at a cost of $52,000+. In the March 31st election, they had a 36.1% voter turnout at a cost of $36,000. Why do I think that's significant? If I'm not mistaken, and you can help me here, Representative Mason, because this is your area, they had candidates in those elections as opposed to money measures, and yet you still had that kind of voter turnout, which to me is alarmingly low. Usually, I assume you're going to have greater voter turnout when you have candidates. In this area, the highest election results I can ever remember for special elections was somewhere around 20%, and I remember us getting 11% out sometimes and getting yes votes. That's pretty alarming stuff. So,
I guess the bottom line is that low turnout special elections are not very representative elections. As Representative Courtney said, they're not a very good sample of the electorate. That's not sour grapes, because sometimes I've been had a little something riding on these special elections. And I think it tests your basic faith in democracy when you say, as we are saying, let's do something that's going to dramatically increase the turnout in these special elections. And that's good. I think it's very good.
Thank you for the question, Representative Hendrickson.
Oh, I was just examining the sample mail ballot they were using in San Diego. It's kind of interesting. They have a little voters pamphlet that goes along with it with arguments pro and con on the special election issue that they were going to be voting on.
Representative Rutherford came over to me, Mr. Chair, a few moments ago and said, nice job on House Bill 2418, Peter, and it just totally had been gutted, and he just loved doing that to me, and I am in a state of shock as a result of that. I had brought some amendments. I'm not even going to offer them because I leave it to your judgment. I look forward to giving you green on the House floor, and I know you'll do a good job. I'm almost in tears over what's happened to my little girl here, but I'll learn to live with that. It's one of those things.
You're learning to represent and a sophomore.
Right, that's
sitting next to your chairman there. That isn't the first time, is it?
Representative Mason signed on it. I don't see him crying.
He's not
crying. I know better. I know better.
Let me say this before I call Mr. Phelps back up as one of the observers of the San Diego election, and I thought it'd be interesting by way of background that they mailed out on Monday the 20th of April with a deadline of midnight, Tuesday, May 5th being the election day. They mailed out 430,211 ballots. Now, through cooperation with the Postal Department, they were able to have all of those ballots delivered to all of the addressees on Tuesday, April 21st. 395,211 ballots were deliverable, approximately 35,000 were undeliverable. On Wednesday, the 22nd of April, they received 7,200 ballots back. And then, astonishingly, on Thursday, the 23rd of April, they got 79,800 ballots. Now, the numbers that came back after that declined somewhat, 46,000 the next day, 27,000, 17,000, and so forth. It was kind of interesting to me from a candidate standpoint that, you know, we frequently will guide our campaigns and our campaign strategy to blitz at the last minute, and particularly that last weekend before Election Day. And yet these returns indicate that most people, by far the greatest majority of people, were ready to vote the minute they got their ballots. And so I'm sure that you could look at in the future, if you apply this to candidate elections, that this would really change the strategy of candidates as to when they would do their blitzing, if they did their blitzing, and where and how they would spend their money. Another interesting thing is that on Thursday the 23rd, when they got the 79,800 ballots, a lawsuit was filed challenging the ballot-by-mail process, challenging it on the questioning the sanctity of the ballot and the integrity of the process and so forth. And a preliminary injunction was sought to stop the election, which was denied by the court, and the election proceeded. We tried to, as best we could, comb through the papers and look for indicia of campaigning on this issue. The issue is whether or not they should float a bond measure to build a $226 million convention center downtown. And it was being opposed most vehemently by a number of the resort owners out in the Mission Bay area north of town, where they have a number of hotels and a convention center. And yet the downtown was trying to refurbish and rehabilitate downtown. We saw, interestingly, in the last few days, and we arrived there on Saturday the 2nd of May and stayed through Tuesday the 5th of May, at least Representative Whalen and I did, and Mr. Phelps, Mr. Radakovich, Mr. Riley stayed, I think, beyond that. And we really didn't see an awful lot, at least I don't feel that we saw an awful lot of activity, campaign activity, towards the end there, and that may have been in part because of the number of ballots, you know, that came in those first 3 or 4 days. The last day, the Sunday, there was a rather interesting full-page ad by the opponents, and I'm sure it was what they were banking on, you know, right towards the end, was trying to get at a what they anticipated would be a whole slew of voters that would come in on Tuesday. Now, they kept their polls open till midnight on Tuesday. I say their polls. They kept the election center open until midnight, and people could actually drive up, drop off their ballot. They didn't have to mail it in. They could hand deliver their ballot to the election center that night right up to midnight. And although Glenn and I didn't stay until midnight, Tuesday morning, it was interesting, right towards the end, Monday and Tuesday, the ballots picked up again where they had previously dropped off. Monday and Tuesday picked up again, but there was not a real surge at the end of people delivering ballots, and Ray reported to me it was really quite quiet. From a cost standpoint, it was rather interesting because Mr. Ortiz estimated that a normal polling place election would run about $550,000 for the city of San Diego in this case. Mm-hmm. And their estimate, and we're still awaiting the final report, but their estimate was that they were going to save from $180,000 to $200,000 on this election by going the ballot by mail. You were correct, Tom. The total turnout by the election deadline was that they got 261,433 ballots back for a 60.7% return. Only 5,800 of those 395,211 ballots that were actually delivered were returned without signatures, and so were invalidated for that reason. And only a few more, I don't have the final figures, but only a few more had challenged signatures on them. One of the things that we looked at among the technical, mechanical way of how do you do it and then how do you fit that into a statute was just the integrity of the process. Because I think we're all concerned about the integrity of the process. And if you think about it for a minute, it's really like our absentee ballot process. It's really no different from the way we have for years allowed absentee ballots. In fact, in my own judgment, I think there's more integrity to this process simply because every single signature, every voter not only has to sign, but every signature is checked and cross-checked mm-hmm. against their voter registration card. Whereas you know today in a regular ballot polling place election, you go in and sign the polling book, but your signature is never cross-checked against your registration card. And so I think there's a great deal of integrity in the process, and San Diego had a system of cross-checks set up so that not only in verifying the signatures, but also that people, for instance, who for some reason or another may have received more than one ballot, or who after the mailing had gone out, had called in and said they didn't get a ballot and requested the ballot or had a destroyed ballot, they had systems where they could make sure that the ballots were not voted twice or that the individual didn't vote twice and so forth. Those are just some comments I thought I'd make as to, from yes. our observation. They did say this, and Representative Hendrickson and Representative Mason, you mentioned earlier, and I guess Representative Courtney also, about the possibility of ultimately expanding this to a primary or a general. Their observations with us were that they would probably never use it in a primary or general election. It just probably would not be appropriate to use in a primary or general. And so that's why in coming up with a redraft of the language for the bill here, we felt that we really ought to restrict it to those other election dates that we have in the state. And although they were talking about measures only down there, and they even had some reluctance to talk about using it for candidates, I think in our judgment, we felt that perhaps in some of the special district elections that we could see no good reason why you wouldn't use it for candidates. You take a small water improvement district, small irrigation district, some of those outfits might find it a lot easier to ballot by mail for the election of board members. And so I would hope that when we get this out, and I anticipate we will, that we would be able to have an incident, have an experimental election where we could use it on candidates as well as a measure or measures, just to see how it works.
Incidentally, proposal in San Diego, if I remember right, failed, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So,
but everybody was high, even the losers were high on the ballot by mail. That was interesting.
Was it a large margin? Or
fairly high margin, yes, but it was a very, very controversial measure. Representative Otto.
I'd like to ask Representative Courtney a letter or a question. I appreciate your frustration over having your bill gutted. My question is, would you want us to amend your name out as one of the sponsors?
You don't have to comment, Representative Courtney. We'll leave it there.
We've talked to him about it.
I'd be happy to replace my name with yours.
Would you? Yeah. Just one thing. You know, maybe I'm wrong, and I agree with the Secretary of State wanting to be at discretion. I felt as a good initial step, and maybe you won't agree with this, is that you should confine it to the largest unit of local government, which you mean, and that's what my amendments would do, therefore Multnomah County, and allowing them the discretion to go this route. As I, if I'm not mistaken, the Secretary of State would even like to maybe have the option of going statewide on ballot measures. I'll leave that up to your discretion, but I felt as a beginning a step that it should not be allowed to be used for candidates, but only money measures, not at on primary or general elections, and confine it to the largest unit of local government. And I just felt that would be a good beginning step for what it's worth.
I think, Peter, our observation, both Glenn's and my observation, was, though, that after looking at, you know, how it worked, that we felt comfortable in recommending that that we could use it on certain limited candidate elections or ballot measure elections. And as to where it would happen, now, Del Riley, the Linn County clerk, has signed up to testify. Del was down there with us. As I understand it, Dell's very interested in trying it in a Linn County election. I wouldn't be surprised. I can't speak for Secretary of State Paulus, but I would, you know, it's very possible that that would be a county, particularly since Dell observed down there, and Bill Radakovich from Multnomah County was also there observing, that it's very possible that both of those counties might be a place where it would be tried. I don't want to step out of place here and say, you know, that's where it would be. I wouldn't. I think that's got to be determined at the time on the basis of the election, just what kind of election it is, and whether we feel that that's a good place, or the Secretary of State's office and the Elections Division feels that that's a good place to try it.
Do we, is anybody ready to bring anybody fair where it's going to go in the Senate?
we have an idea where it's going to go.
But we know it won't go to the Senate Elections Committee.
We're fortunate.
Thank you. I think there is support in the Senate. We feel there's support in the Senate for it. But Representative Whalen and I have a letter from the Senate Majority Leader who says he has no pride of authorship in his measure and is willing to support